Becoming an adult is never easy. Take a flower child and a surfer, throw in the dramatic social upheavals of the 60s, then add a new baby, and you've got serious stress. Turned out to be more than her parents could handle. Joelle Frazier reconstructs their lives in a memoir called The Territory of Men. And she doesn't blame her parents for their choices, even the ones that caused her pain.
They were such loving people. They always were searching for love in their lives, and they were also sort of hedonists, I guess, you know, always searching for the wonderful in life, the pleasure in life. And so it doesn't surprise me at all that's what brought them together. And sometimes I think that's the one thing, the one person that each of them has always missed.
Hmm. How did they meet?
They met at the University of Oregon, left to New York, and when she got pregnant with me, they went back to California.
Do you know much about their lives before you?
Yeah, I do. Over time, I've learned a lot. I felt like I needed to do that for the book, too, to understand where they came from, to better understand them. So, yeah, I researched their past a little bit.
So what were their lives like in New York?
Oh, it was wild. They were all-night parties and kind of bohemian, beatnik sort of style of life. You know, really loved Kerouac kind of thing. And, you know, a lot of gin and tonics and reading books and poetry and that sort of thing.
And they really wanted to be writers.
Yes. And they both worked at magazines.
And they actually both were writers. You have a journal of your mother's that you quote.
Yeah, I was so grateful that she had the courage and the generosity to give me that journal to work with, because these were her words from her early 20s when I was just an infant. And so verbatim, I was able to quote her. And at the same time, it was very heartbreaking to have that journal, because it chronicled the sort of evolution of the breakup and then finally her leaving him and then the divorce. So someone quoted it as saying it's like my own personal train wreck, watching my parents divorce day by day, seeing my mother get closer to that decision.
Well, also there is early on her surprise at becoming pregnant. Someone less strong than you are might have taken that as an attack.
Yeah, well, it was hard for me to realize that I wasn't planned and that it wasn't necessarily a good thing. In fact, it was, I think for both of them, was seen as a hindrance to their freedom and their dreams. And so it's really hard to hear that.
But on the other hand, you don't write as though you felt rejected by them. There wasn't any question of their wanting you once you were there.
Not at all. No. Once I was there, I think that I was just part of their lives, and I think there were no regrets.
You all did stay together for a while.
Almost 2 years.
And, of course, you can't be expected to remember very much of that yourself.
No.
Do you have any memories of that are yours?
No, I don't. I have, you know, when you see photos of those early years when you're a toddler, it kind of seems to create its own memory. But in actuality, no, I don't remember anything from those baby years.
And after the split, you lived mostly with your mother. What was that like?
I became very aware of my mother and her moods and how they would change around men. And she would seem to become more alive and more happy when they're around, unless, of course, there was fighting. And then when they were gone, a sense of agitation and a sense of waiting and something being incomplete. A lot of women are like that. I mean, my mother, incredibly dynamic and gorgeous. She was a model, a swimsuit model even, at least in college. But yet still feeling incomplete without a man, you know, wanting that to feel whole.
Did you ever get to live with your father?
Definitely, mostly with my mom. But I did visit him on vacation, summers and Christmases. I'd go to Hawaii. And I was very close to him. I wrote him letters all the time, and he wrote me. And he was like this prince to me, you know, living in magical Hawaii.
What was he doing all those years?
Just odd jobs. He'd work as a golf pro or an insurance guy or just come up with some entrepreneurial thing. But he really always wanted to write, and he was constantly trying to write, and he finally did publish a novel.
And you've read it, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
How hard was it for him to write that novel?
I think it was torture for him, as, you know, writing is so hard anyway. But it took him several years, and in the midst of it, he was drinking. So I call it this strange triangle between him and his notepad and his bottle or glass of whatever alcohol it was. That triangle of writing and drinking and my father was was very bittersweet.
There's always a notion among fantasists that somehow men like your father could only write with the bottle. But actually, it sounds as though you thought maybe he wrote better when he was fighting the bottle.
I think so. And he did have one sober year, and he wrote a lot during that year. In fact, I think he was on a roll, but he couldn't last. And he started drinking after about a year. But I did know him that sober year, the only year of my life that I knew him when he was sober. And I still remember it as the best, one of the best years of my life. I was 10.
How did you feel about those times when your mother would pack you off to live with your dad again? I suppose it must be very mixed. On the one hand, you get to go live with your dad. On the other hand, you don't get to live with your mother.
Yeah. Oh, how painful. It really was. And there was also the sense that when my mother packed me off, it was because I wasn't getting along with the stepfather in question at the time. And so I knew that my departure was to give her more peace, and I was in the way, so to speak. So that was kind of painful. And missing her was hard, and feeling like I had failed her somehow was difficult, obviously. But I loved being with my dad, and yet it was difficult to watch him drinking. Yeah. So everything always seemed to have this dark and light side to it, as I guess all of life does.
But this story, even though it's all defined by men, is also a two-woman story, you and your mother and the interaction between you. It has to have been up and down during that time, because you seem, especially when you were young, to be defining yourself by your relationship with her.
Yeah, it's definitely been up and down. And I think you're right that in the end, the book is about me and my mom, because she's the one who introduced me to the territory of men. She's the one who taught me about it. Like, I'm not talking literally, but by her actions, by example, she led me into the territory of men. And that's where I would find my happiness. And I say that in quotes. And so I followed in her footsteps. And for probably the last, 15 years, I did what she did, kind of went from man to man, searching for that sort of elusive sense of contentment and safety, which you can't find, in somebody else. It obviously has to come from within, and it's kind of a cliche, but I've lived that cliche.
Joelle Frazier's memoir is called The Territory of Men.